for being here this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be reading some verses there in a little bit. Have you ever thought about your worth? Have you really thought about your worthiness? What your worth is to others, to the church? No, when we're talking about worth here, we're not talking about our worth in wealth, but your worth to others. You know, many see the worth of others by what they can give or what they can offer. And as soon as the giving and the offering stops, they don't look at that person as being worthy any longer. What about the church? Are we worth something to the church? That's a very serious question that I'm asking. Our major concern should be that, are we worth something to the church? Because there are many who are simply worth nothing to the church. We cannot go to heaven by being worth nothing to the church. To please God, I believe that it is important for us to find the following characteristics in our life to be worth something to the church. I must, first of all, be faithful in attendance. Yep, there it is. I said it. To be worth something to the church, I must be faithful in attendance. Those that are worth little or nothing to the church are very lax in their attendance. Now, I've said this before. I'm not speaking about those because of age or illness, but those who can be, but they're not. That's who's being talked about here. Those that are worth little or nothing to the church are very lax in their attendance. This is often the very beginning point of departing from the truth. Early Christians, as you well know, was steadfast in their attendance. My little clicker is not working for some reason. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 43. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking the bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. The early Christians were steadfast in their belief, steadfast in their obedience, and steadfast in their attendance. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Early Christians, you couldn't keep them away. You couldn't keep early Christians away from assembling themselves together. They were steadfast that upon the first day of the week, when they came together for a purpose, and that was to worship, to sing praises, to listen to a lesson through God's word, by God's word, breaking of bread, giving. There was a purpose to their attendance. But it's sad that many today do not see that same steadfastness as being a necessity of being faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. Now, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Now, I want you to understand exactly what that word forsaking means. It does not mean that if you're sick and you don't come to worship, that you're forsaking. That's not what this word means. If you will remember in our Wednesday night Bible class with Brother Aaron, the Jews were looking and thinking about going back to Judaism. They were going back and they were leaving Christ. That's literally what this is talking about. Not forsaking, not abandoning, or to desert the Lord's church. But what happens when people start missing worship? What takes place? What happens? Many times, they become lax. Oh, well, it's not that big deal. And before too long, they may go 2 or 3 weeks, a month. Then they just show up periodically, you know, around Easter or Christmas. What happens if we're not faithful in attendance? The devil takes a hold, doesn't he? We start making excuses. If I want to be worth something to the church, I must be faithful in attendance. Secondly, if I want to be worth something to the church, I need to be loyal to divine authority. We have but one source of authority. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them who? His disciples, his apostles. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, when he says they're teaching them to observe all things, do you think that included being faithful in attendance? Being faithful in divine authority? Look at John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me but to the Father but by me. There's no other way to the Father than Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's simply no other way by what John just said. But yet many seek authority for spiritual matters in all the wrong places. You know, when I got this in my mind, too many seek authority for spiritual matters in all the wrong places. You remember that song? I don't remember who sang it, but looking for love in all the wrong places. Too many times as Christians, that's what we do. We look for God's divine authority by what the preacher says, or what brother so-and-so says. I'm going to tell you right now, there's many, quote, preachers that are leading millions astray. We cannot be seeking spiritual matters in any other place than God's Word. Am I right? To be worth something to the church, number three, I believe that we must live a faithful and clean life. Now, that does not mean that we don't stumble and fall. It does not mean that we don't sin, but we don't remain there. To be worth something to the church, we must live a faithful and clean life. If we claim to be Christians, then should we not live like Christians? If we're claiming to be saints, should we not live like saints? If we come to worship service on Sunday morning claiming to be Christians, claiming to be faithful, but yet when Monday morning rolls around, what happens? We go back into the world. Many perhaps have jobs that they have to go to every week, every day. And sometimes we slip. Sometimes we start acting like the world. We can't, and I've said this before, and I'm sorry for repeating myself, we cannot live like Christians on Sunday and sinners on Monday. Claiming to be something is not the same as actually being something. That reminds me of those who claim that they are female when they were born male. Just because you're claiming to be female does not mean that you're not male, and vice versa. A female claiming to be a male does not make that female a male. It's physically impossible. But yet we have many claiming to be this or claiming to be that. But claiming is not actually being. If we're claiming to be Christians, then brothers and sisters, we should be acting like Christians. Many have caused great damage to the church by not living up to their responsibilities. Look at, if you will, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Again, brothers and sisters, if we are claiming to be Christians, if we're claiming to be something to the church, then let us be living like Christians, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Again, number four, if we're going to be worth something, we must be efficient in the work of the Lord. A failure to do so is to be efficient in the work of the devil. If we're not efficient in the work of the Lord, then we are efficient in the work of the devil by default. are we not? We can't serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We can't not serve God and the world at the same time. We're going to serve one or the other. It is up to each and every individual claiming to be a Christian to truly understand that they must be efficient in the work of the Lord. A choice has to be made. The choice has to be made. Most of you know this verse, Joshua 24, verse 15. The Israelites were having an issue. They were chasing after other gods. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what's Joshua going to do? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That literally means that he was efficient in the work of the Lord. He was doing what the Lord directed him to do. And we have the direction that God wants us to live in our Bibles today. Don't we? If we're not serving God, then we are serving the devil. Matthew 12 and verse 30. He that is not with me is what? Against me. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. It's not saying word for word that, you know, if we're not serving God, we're serving the devil. But it is telling us exactly that. If we're not serving God, then we are serving the devil. He that is not with me, serving me, is against me. If you're against me, then you're with the devil. And he that gathereth not with me, you're not gathering with me, then you're with the devil. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul writes 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to be efficient in the work of the Lord. And fifth, if we want to be worth something to the church, now this gets personal, okay? This is going to be personal. If we want to be worth something to the church, then we must assume our own responsibility. If we want to be worth something to the church, then we have to assume our own responsibility. One major issue, one major problem today is getting members of the church to accept their individual responsibility. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, and I appreciate Brother Mike reading a few moments ago. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I can't work it out for you. Your brothers and sisters cannot work it out for you. It is your responsibility. No one else's. Then, again, look at verses 14 and 15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. It's our responsibility to take care of our own salvation. We understand the need to do so in worldly matters, do we not? That we have to take responsibility for ourselves in the world? Then why is it difficult for us to truly understand that we need to take responsibility for our spiritual self? Again, we understand the need to do so in the worldly matters, but when it comes to spiritual matters, many times we fail to do so. We fail to take our own responsibility. Why is that? Why do we fail? And lastly, to be worth something to the church, I must love like I mean it. Love like I mean it. Consider, if you will, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you. So right here we understand that this is a commandment. It's not if we want to or not. This is a commandment from Jesus Christ himself. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for the other. You know, sometimes love's hard, isn't it? Sometimes people make it very difficult to love them. But you know what? Us loving others does not depend on them being lovable. Did you hear that? Us loving others is not dependent upon the other person being lovable. We have a command to love one another, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. But yet how many times have we seen or heard brother against brother, sister against sister within the body of Christ? Do you think that by disobeying God, Jesus' command here, that we're going to stand before God in a good way? We're to love one another. But our loving others is not dependent upon them being lovable. Take your Bibles real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity or love never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there shall they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Do you think love is important? If we're truly claiming to be worth something to the church, then brothers and sisters, we must have love. What do you think? You think it's necessary? Do you think it's necessary to be worth something to the church to be faithful in attendance? Do you think it's worth being loyal to divine authority to be worth something to the church? Do you believe that living a faithful, clean life is the way we should live to be worth something to the church? To be worth something to the church, should we not be efficient in the work of the Lord, in the work of the church? And should we not assume our own responsibility? And should we not love one another as Jesus loved us? How did Jesus love us? How did he show his unwavering love? He went to the cross, shed his blood, and died for the sins of the world. That's love. So what do you think, church? Can we dedicate ourselves to be worthy, to be worth something to the church? This morning, if you're here and you're in need of prayer, whatever the reason may be, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
The vine of fig has been nailed to the cross. Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right?